Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We do have Clint to weigh in.
I mean, look, you nailed a bunch of them, and I'll be honest. There's a few things in life where I lean more towards Reggie and B. Scott when it comes to rap music. Rap music is one of them, and so I don't know if like legitimately what I get down with would necessarily represent what white folks made platinum. I don't know if that always goes hand in hand. However, the fact that Pony wasn't on that damn list, I'm gonna tell you right now, man. I ain't never met a cool-ass white dude or a fine-ass white girl that didn't dance to Pony, man. And I mean get it. I mean get in trouble
get
to
it.
Pony. It comes on. My wife right now to this day, I could walk in and say, hey, Google, play Pony. And my wife would come unglued, y'all. I mean unglued, boy.
Well, because
I can't believe that one didn't make it, Fig. What in the hell's going on, Cleveland?
Yeah, I think Fig was gearing towards hip-hop. But you know what? Yeah. If there is one activity that is not universal amongst all skin colors, it's that one right there. I'll tell you that. Yeah. For damn sure. So, man, excited that the vibes are already
on. That was very good.
Get out there.
That was a very good take, Clint. I like that.
If you want to get out to New Caney, you better get a move on right now. Because the fellas are getting going. You're listening to KILT, KILT HD2, and Odyssey Sports Station. Go sign up. Go win some prizes. Go hang out with the fellas. Because right now, the drive is live.
We are live. 59-99, New Caney, Buffalo Wild Wings. Ron Ugly is not in today, but my man B. Scott is always ready to rock and roll. Tyler Miller is back in the studio. We got you from 2 to 6 p.m. Everybody out there, thank you for listening. Thank you for plugging in. Call your mom. Call your friends and them and make sure they're plugged in as well. However you're listening, we greatly appreciate it. Twitch, YouTube, it'd be nice. I don't know if you appreciate the visual or not, but we're trying. And for those that listen on the terrestrial radio, the old school way of listening, we greatly appreciate y'all. The Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download that app and you can take us everywhere you go. If you like listening to the show, if you like listening to Midday Guys, if you like listening to the Morning Guys, the Odyssey app will give you a chance to hit that rewind when you got time. There's a rewind feature on there. You can go back and listen to segments. You can go back and listen to shows. And we'd appreciate if you download that Odyssey app. Also, before we get cranking today, I do want to acknowledge and send some prayers up for all those people that have been impacted by Hurricane Milton. What a monster that sucker was hitting Florida. I read this morning where there was 135 reported tornado warnings as that hurricane was pushing through. And not only is that many warnings rare, but the power of those reported tornadoes or tornado warnings apparently was off the charts as well. So prayers up to all the people of Florida that just got hammered by that tornado. We down here in Houston fully understand what you're going through, and boy, it's going to be a long road back. Also, the people that were impacted, I don't know, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, by Hurricane Helene, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia, six states. I believe it was the deadliest, most deadly hurricane reported to date. 230, 240 lives were lost in that, man. So just big time prayers up for all those people that are dealing with it. We here in Houston can relate to it, and don't wish it on anybody. Stay strong. You'll be a better state. You'll be a better family, getting through this through these hard times. So big time prayers up for all of them, B. Scott.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said, man, and especially like you mentioned, us here, we can relate. We understand the ramifications of this. If it's not obvious already when you mentioned the amount of lives that are lost, but especially us, man, knowing what all of this is about. So, yeah, definitely prayers to those folks.
Hurricane Harvey, I gutted three homes, man.
Oh, yeah.
Three homes, man. My brothers, my now wife's parents, as well as a cousin of mine's, which I took the house off his hands, and I don't know that it was a good idea because I had to redo that joker.
Yeah, I was displaced from my family for almost a week. Because the bridge that takes you from my job to my house was collapsed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, I definitely understand.
Man, I saw a video this morning at Tropicana Field where the Rays play, and it is torn to shreds. And so, again, just prayers up. Now, also, we're here for a Thirsty Thursday at Buffalo Wild Wings up here in New Caney. Come on through. Tomorrow, Football Friday. If you can't make it today, Football Friday at Big City Wings in Humble, 9240 North Sam Houston Parkway. We'll be there tomorrow on that side of town. Come on through. Hell, it ain't too far from here, I don't believe, as the crow flies anyway. We also got Texans linebacker, leading tackler Henry Toa Toa is going to join us next. We're going to actually have to get out of this segment a little bit earlier than normal to make sure that we'll be locked and loaded for the leading tackler for the Houston Texans. 2:15-ish, stay plugged in. Tyler's turds.
I can't wait for this one.
I'm telling you, it's a hit. 3:40 today, and we can't do this show, ladies and gentlemen, without giving Bud Light the shout-out, man. One pair of tickets plus tailgate passes for Texans Colts. Courtesy of Bud Light, we'll give that pair of tickets away. A cornhole set. Do you call it cornhole or bago? I'm a bago guy. I was washers forever. PVC pipe in the ground, one hole, throw in the washer. Now I'm more of a bago guy. I don't do the corn. Like, I don't talk to my boys like, hey man, y'all play cornhole? No, we're playing bago or washers.
Yeah, see, it's been cornhole ever since it got popularized. Though cornhole as a name is kind of taking it over. I can appreciate you staying true to the original.
Yeah, it's just cornhole.
But everybody calls it cornhole.
Well, I mean,
now,
there's
man.
A lot of things I want to do with the fellas. You know, I'm a man's man. I like to have a good time.
Yeah, no, I get not feeling comfortable with the phrase.
Hey, B. Scott, you don't play cornhole with me and my buddies?
No,
man, let's throw the bag over.
Yeah. I hear you on that.
We got a Bud Light cornhole set. We got one pair of Utah tickets. Utah's that'd be a hell of a match.
Yep.
U of H seems to be turning the corner a little bit. A pair of U of H K-State tickets, as well as two $25 Visa gift cards that we'll be giving away today. So if you're in the building or you're out there in the streets, make sure you stop by. We're at 5999 Buffalo Wild Wings. Get your name in the raffle. It's right here. Tallest gentleman in the house right here. He came missing right there. White box on the table. Get your name in the raffle, and we'll pull those as we go through the show today. I think unofficial reports, B. Scott, for the Houston Texans. Big matchup this weekend. What should be a get right game. We'll see exactly how the Texans handle it. The New England Patriots sitting at 1-4, right? 1-4.
Yeah.
And there's a lot going on in New England right now that is not conducive to winning football games. And we're going to cover that today as well. But right now, the unofficial reports coming from practice. Again, these are unofficial reports, but it turns me on now. Joe Mixon was back at practice today. Damian Pierce, by the way, was back at practice yesterday.
Yep.
That means there's a chance that the running back stable can be full for the first time since the first quarter of week two. Maybe it was the second quarter, whenever Joe Mixon went down week two. All right? And that ain't all now. The reports are, which I was in my feelings yesterday about it. I don't understand them. The linemen that I've been around would love to just rip your head off your neck and mess in your neck. You know what I mean? That's the kind of guys, not being at practice when your run game ain't right, when you can't pass protect, drives me nuts. But Wednesday is coming gone. Thursday's a big day at practice. Reports are that the O-line, Titus Howard, Laremy Tunsil, and Kenyon Green are all three back at practice today, B. Scott. What does that do for you, Joe Mixon and the O-line being back at practice today on a heavy work day Thursday?
Well, so I think the big question that we've been asking all week, ever since we knew that Nico Collins was going to at least miss this game, and then, of course, we found out later on he's on the injured list, he's going to miss the next four games. But the big question is, how are you going to compensate for losing your biggest playmaker on offense? And also, what are you going to do about this run game? Well, here's a chance to do both. Like, how can you help your quarterback? How can you help your passing game, especially against a struggling team that does play defense well in the New England Patriots, but in a team that you should beat? By running the football. So you get your lineman back. Obviously, that is key, I think, to learn that they're not going to miss the game. But Joe Mixon, and I was giving this away a little bit in the crosstalk, that's the big news, man. Like, I think we've got issues in the run game that go far beyond just who the running back is. We got issues with the offensive line. I feel like we got issues with the way it's coached, the way it's called, maybe even the way that it's sequenced. But I think Joe Mixon adds an entirely different element to the run game, especially if he's healthy. And then you add Damian Pierce in the mix, as you mentioned, practice yesterday. To me, finding out that your run game overall seems like it's becoming whole at a time when you're losing your biggest weapon, throwing the ball, to me, is perfect time. It's a perfect storm for the Texans.
I love Joe Mixon.
Yeah, me too, Gruden. Me too. I think this gives Bobby Slowick the opportunity to kind of rebound here. Look, I mean, we got to be completely honest about this, man. The Bobby Slowick run game issue, we can talk about whose fault it is. That's fine. Whatever. I mean, coaches get fired. You don't move on from, you know, quarterbacks that are making $60 million and running backs that are making 10 plus a year and an entire offensive line. You don't move on from those guys, right? So the task of getting a run game going, which in my opinion is what's going to make the Texans a play like a Super Bowl caliber football team. Like that needs to happen, not just a decent record and you kind of muddle your way through to a 4-1 season. Like the product at some point, maybe not completely throughout for 17 games, but the product at some point needs to be the of which you go that right there for 3 or 4 games in the playoffs is Super Bowl worthy, right? We haven't seen that yet with the Texans, and so Bobby Slowick's got to get this run game right. And when I say Bobby Slowick, I mean the O-line coach. I mean the O-line. I mean everybody involved. They've got to get this run game right. And if you're going to do it, you need your offensive linemen practicing, and you need Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce for that matter, but you need Joe Mixon in the mix to, when it's not blocked up just perfectly, Joe Mixon can go make hay. Right? When it is blocked up perfectly, instead of getting 6 or 7 and a linebacker clipping his heels, he has the ability to go get 25, 30, 40 yards. I remind you, the longest run for the Houston Texans since D'Amico Ryans became the head coach is 24 yards, B. Scott. And this year, I think it's 18.
Yeah.
The longest rush from scrimmage. It's been an absolute joke. Bobby has to get this right. And if he's going to do it, if he's ever going to do it, the O-line has to be whole and Joe Mixon has to be the guy toting the pill.
Now, as it relates to Bobby, I think it sort of opens up what he's able to do because Joe Mixon is a do-it-all back.
I agree with that.
You can call basically any kind of play, any kind of formation, and there's a role for Joe Mixon in the play. So, to me, that's a benefit for Bobby to where it's another thing where, like, okay, you're excited for him, but also it's like you got no excuse now because you've got a tool here that you should be able to use your disposal. You know what I mean?
Like in
any type of formation, like it's not like Joe Mixon is a specific back. Like he's a do-it-all type of dude.
Well, he's a do-it-all type of guy. And then when you look at Dari Agunbowale had 21 touches last week. And again, not disrespecting Dari Agunbowale. Hell, I mean, I got more respect for Dari than I do the more talented guys on this football team. But if we're being completely honest, him getting 21 touches versus Joe Mixon getting 21 touches could be the difference in 100 damn yards.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it could literally be the difference of having a monster rush day versus just getting by. Because the Texans really weren't bad last week. I mean, you almost had 100 yards rushing. You look at what Cam Akers had. Cam Akers had 4.7 per. He just didn't have enough carries to make it all make sense. So it's not you weren't terrible last week. Add Joe Mixon to that mix and just get that same situation as you had last week against Buffalo, and I think you got 100 yards.
No, I would argue I'd even go further with that, Clint. So there were some moments that were encouraging Sunday in the run game.
Yeah,
there were some. I think that were
the back-to-back runs by Cam Akers, and that was blocked up beautifully.
Absolutely, and even Dari had some moments. I know he had a penalty and he had a drop ball, but even he had some moments there that were pretty good. So think about that, though. Think about the context of that. With Cam Akers and Dari as your combination, you were decent. Now if it's Joe Mixon at the top and then some combination of Damian Pierce and those other two guys, you should absolutely be able to run the ball more efficiently and much, much better in this game.
We're going to talk a little bit more about Damian Pierce later in the show. I do think after all the circles we've talked in about the running backs through training camp and early season, I do believe that there is a real chance that Damian Pierce could be a blessing in disguise for this football team. Now that Joe's back, I don't know if we ever see it, but there's something about Damian Pierce's run style, and I don't mean he can or can't run a certain scheme. I mean the downhill, just put a foot in the ground and go get it. There's something about that that's different than everybody else, and there's something about this interior offensive line and what they're actually better at. And what this team should do in terms of get Dalton Schultz the hell away from the football and get him up in a two-point stance, I just think that there could be some stars aligning there. Again, we'll get to that. We'll get to that as the show goes on. I got to admit something right out of the gate here, B-Scott.
All right, let's go,
Tyler. I need you to listen to this too because it's got a little something to do with you.
I got my ears perked up.
You know, I like to get out and I mean I like to fight Father Time. I'm not just going to lay my ass around and not do anything and then wonder why when I'm 50, 60 years old I can't walk, my knees hurt, my back hurts. I'm trying to fight here.
You are getting older. That's
smart. Trying to fight. I know I got a little gray on the sides. I'm working on that. But here's the deal. Every now and then out there where I live, I'm out there getting me. I do a little jog walk, 30 minutes on, 30 minutes off, 30 minutes on, 30 minutes off, right? If I need to get my heart rate up, I'll hit it harder for 30 minutes. I'm not 30 minutes, 30 seconds. Let me get this right. 30 seconds.
I was going to say, man, you are a winner.
I can't. B. Scott looked at me like,
I was like, no, that's great.
No, I go four. I go for a total of 30 minutes, but it's 30 seconds, 30 seconds, okay. 30 seconds,
yeah, 30
seconds.
Okay. There's no way I'm jogging for 30 minutes
yeah,
straight.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could give you 30 minutes for like once a week straight. That's about it, but I'd be perfect with that. But here's the deal.
Fair enough.
Every now and then I get chased by a dog. And it started out with these little yapping-ass chihuahuas. And those got to be the bravest damn dogs I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's like they have no idea how smart they are.
Two of them got me one time. Had me high-stepping down this street, right? But they're so small, I just keep going. A couple days ago, I'm easing on down the street, and it's a what's those? It looks like an oversized weenie dog. Big, thick body, long, short leg. Corgi.
Oh, yeah. The ladies love the corgis.
I got my headphones in, and I don't know he's behind me until I literally feel his whiskers on my calf. And he's madder. He's madder than a hornet now.
What you do?
Oh, I mean, I started yelling at him, and I started yelling. I'm going to end up getting shot because I start yelling at the house. Like, hey, man, get your damn dog in the house. Man, well, this is the second time he doesn't chase me. So yesterday, I'm rolling by the same house with them damn chihuahuas. And I got my headphone. I'm going to start going with one headphone because I got my noise-canceling buds in, right? And I'm jogging. And out of my corner of my eye on the left, there's a fence. And there is a full-blown German Shepherd.
Oh, no.
And I mean, he is mad and he is wide open, y'all. He got them legs. He's coming towards me, right? And I look down the fence line. I'm about 20 yards from an opening, a driveway where that fence opens.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? He clearly, he's got his sights set on me.
Yeah.
Right? So I keep jogging and I start just yelling at the house, right? I hit the house. Hey, I'm doing that number. And he comes around that thing and he squats and is showing me his teeth and growling at me. And my man got a harness on his chest, not a collar. My man's got a harness on his chest. And I'm in a boxer stance for some reason, like I'm fixed, like I'm going to do something.
You got to figure out something.
Hey, he is.
You have no chance,
though. I can't take my eyes off him because I'm thinking at any point in time he's on me. And this is a German Shepherd. I ain't got a chance, man. He's going to rip my arm off, right?
Zero chance.
And so I can't turn my back on this thing. And so I'm yelling at the house, hey, y'all come get this dog, hey. All of a sudden, this little lady. Little Hispanic lady, she comes walking around the furthest point from where I'm at in on that property. She comes walking around that corner, man. If I'm lying, I'm dying. She's taking 2-inch steps,
I'm like,
this thing, we got to go, man. We got to go, you know, that kind of deal. And about 15 minutes of talk, she couldn't speak English, but speaking Spanish, she finally got that big sunbuck off of me and went over there, and I kept my jog going. Whew. It was wild. All right, y'all, we got to bounce up out of here. We got Henry Toa Toa, Houston Texans linebacker, coming up next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott Skeezy is what I call him, but we'll be professional today on the air. Brandon Scott is in. There you go. Hey, look, big shout out to Lindsay Fox of Texans, of the Texans organization for being patient with us, working with us. She's one of the best in the business. And big shout out to Henry Toa Toa, linebacker number 39, that is absolutely doing work on the turf, leading the Texans in tackles with 38. One of two, given the style of defense they've been playing lately, but one of two linebackers that are absolutely wrecking shop out there. Henry, thanks for joining us, brother.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Absolutely. Hey, one thing that I think, obviously your play is off the charts, but one thing that I want to jump to first is you remade your body, you changed some things in the offseason, and now they seem to be playing out and coming to fruition and allowing you to play at a different level, man. Take us through that part of your season where you got yourself right, changed some things, and boom, now it's paying off.
Oh, man, I think that's just a good testament to, like, my strength coach back at home, Coach Wine, and my dad. You know, we done worked a whole lot, you know, starting in January when we first got our last game for Baltimore. So, you know, we got to work right when we got done playing. And the biggest part was just trying to get lean. Came over here trying to start eating right, taking, you know, my vitamins and good stuff like that, trying to be a real pro. But, you know, they did a great job here. You know, the dietitians and the training staff have helped me a lot. So it was a long process, but it's still a working shop. You know, I'm still grinding, trying to keep my body in tip-top shape right now.
Hey, Henry, take us behind the toe family curtain right there, man. What specifically did Dad tell you? Did he say, hey, man, look here? You got to get this in check. We got to be a little quicker. We got to be a little. What did Pops tell you, man?
Yeah, man. He was just telling me, like, I need to be more lighter on my feet. I need to be able to cover a lot better than I did last year. You know, my dad's a real, real knowledgeable man when it comes to football, and I trust everything that he says. You know, he's gotten me to the point where I'm at now. So I believe his eye. Him and my mom, you know, they do a great job of critiquing me and everything that I do. But, yeah, man, it was just like, man, you look slow. You don't look like the hand we all love and know out there on that football field. And, you know, we took that to heart and just went to work this offseason.
Yeah, Henry, how much of the way you're used in this defense and the way that y'all are playing defense, personnel-wise, schematic-wise, how much does that speak to your strengths and your sensibilities, and how much has that helped you as well on top of the things that you adjusted in the offseason?
Man, I mean, yeah, honestly, guys, I think the good thing is, man, our coaches are really so good at relaying a message on how they want things done. You know, our linebacker coach, Billy Davis, and Coach D'Amico, you guys all know Coach D'Amico. They do a really, really good job of putting not only me, but everybody on this defense and on this team in a position to succeed and what we're really, really well at. So, you know, the coaches do a really good job, and, you know, a lot of hats off to them because they know what they're doing up there.
Talk us through, obviously, the linebackers. You and Aziz, I mean, it's obvious watching y'all play that there's obviously some really, really good instincts. But there's obviously some really, really long hours studying your opponent, because y'all's trigger, both of you guys, how quickly you trigger downhill on runs and how you attack pressures and things of that nature is like really, really impressive. Talk to us a little bit about the preparation that goes on, as well as playing next to Aziz and how that communication works.
Man, I think it all goes back to like just playing complimentary football. You know, that was one of our goals last week. But it's just knowing that the man next to you is going to do his job, and, you know, he's at home studying this film. You know, he's taking the game as serious as you are. But it all just comes back to that, man. Just believing the guy next to you that he's going to do his job, that he knows what play's coming, and ultimately communicating about what's about to come. So we got a lot of guys on defense that love this game, that do a really, really good job of studying the film, and that makes us play faster. So not only just me and Aziz, but, you know, everybody on this defense does a really, really good job.
Henry, speaking of that, I want you to take us back to right after the fumble, right after the fumble from Stroud, and then you guys, obviously that's a fumble in your own territory, close to basically in your own red zone. Y'all give up only the field goal like that. I know there was a lot of attention to the field goal that won the game, 59-yarder. Of course, the quarterback play, how well they play, how well they don't play, either way is a big talking point. But I felt like you guys standing there or holding up and not giving up a touchdown and only being able to or having to give up a field goal in that moment was part of what won the game. Can you take me to moments like that and what those moments are like for you and for you guys as a defense, as competitors?
Yeah, man. It goes back to my days at Alabama. The offensive job is to score points, and the defensive job is to not let them score points. So we all just had that mindset, you know, that sudden change. Like, anytime we get to stand on some grass and to stop them, no matter where they are, the 1 yard line, the half yard line, the 10, 15, no matter when we get on that field, we got to have that mindset of these guys are not scoring. At least they're going to get us a field goal, and we're trying to get a turnover. So it's just that mindset that we try to have every time we step on that field.
What was the approach on the obviously holding them there at the end inside the five and then getting the punt that ultimately, you know, the special teams were able to win this thing after y'all got that stop? What was the conversation? I understand everybody's just doing their job and all the coach speak stuff, Henry, but like, what was the mindset in that moment? Is it we got to go, let's go win this game right now, or is it, hey, we just play defense?
Let's go win this thing. Let's go win this thing. Let's stop. Like, that's our mindset all the time. Let's go win this damn thing. Like, let's get this stop. We knew we had three timeouts, so let's get this stop. Let's try to force them to punt back up, and let's give our offense an opportunity. So getting that stop was huge, man.
Hey, I feel like both of y'all are being kind of kind about it, but let's be honest, Henry. They bailed y'all out a little bit. They threw the ball. They should have been playing for time and possession. And they threw the ball, and y'all made y'all's plays throughout the game. Honestly, like, it was a great performance. But to be honest, man, the way they managed that game at the end, salute to the Bills coaching staff for doing y'all some favors, man. For sure.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we definitely could play a lot cleaner football, but yeah, 100%.
Playing next to Aziz, I think one of the craziest stories of last week, especially after watching the film, watching the game, and seeing how well he played, was to hear DeMeco talking about, one, he was extremely sick before the game, and then hearing him talk about after that first series, he was almost like, hey, man, we're going to sit you down if we can't get that right. I mean, clearly, just from your perspective, speak on how sick he was and how impressive it was for him to play like he did under those conditions.
Man, that boy was sick, man. He was scaring me. He was sick. I'm looking at him. I'm like, man, are you good, bro? Like, I seen him Saturday, and you know, he just wasn't looking like Aziz. And I was like, all right. But you know, Sunday came, man, and he done put his game face on. He done did what Aziz does best and perform. So, man, that's a dog right there. Only a few people I know that can do that, and he's one of them.
So I caught your reaction to Neville Hewitt's wrestling move that he tried on that kick return. Can we expect anything? I mean, you are admittedly more nimble and better shape these days, playing the best football of your life. Henry, I just want to know, can we expect something like you or something like that from you trying to one-up Neville Hewitt and some of the acrobatics?
Hey, if I do a front flip and RKO somebody, man, y'all done heard it here first. I'm going to try it.
that's big, man. Hey, last thing, Henry, before we let you go, man, is the way that you have performed, again, leading the Texans in tackles, obviously Aziz playing lights out. Man, when y'all get Christian Harris back, this linebacker crew is going to be at least front line. I don't study the depth of other teams around the NFL, but at least you three leading the charge at that linebacker position, that's going to be a crazy group of linebackers right there, man.
Man, yeah, man. That just puts a smile on my face because you guys know Christian is, you know, one of my bestest friends, man. And just to be able to have him back out there, man, it's going to be great. You know, we miss him. That's my dog, man, and I love that guy. And can't wait to get him back.
All right, that's Henry Toa, inside linebacker for the Houston Texans, leading tackler for your Houston Texans. Henry, man, appreciate you joining us, man. Go get another W this weekend, brother.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great one.
Absolutely, yeah, man.
Arguably their best defensive player so far this year. I think you can make the case. So far through 5 weeks of the season, I think you can make the case that Henry Toa, the guy that we just talked to on the phone, has been their best defensive player through five games.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only,
I'm not saying he is their best defensive player, but through five games, he has played the best on defense.
We're talking about a guy that if Christian Harris were here, he'd have been relegated to a backup role. And I'm not disrespecting, just where he would have landed on this role with Aziz and Christian Harris. And Christian Harris, obviously the injury, he can't play. He tries, he can't go. Henry Toa jumps in there, and he's playing lights out.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. If Aziz wasn't playing sick and playing as well as he played, Henry would be the talk, right? He'd be the talk of what's – I mean, he flashes.
Sure.
He flashes. I'll tell you this. You mentioned – or actually, Ron mentioned something yesterday about guys that have flashed on the defense. He mentioned Jalen Petrie, a couple different guys. And I'll argue that nobody on this defense has flashed more – game to game than Henry Toa. Now, a lot of that may be I didn't expect it to happen, and there's a big change seems to have occurred from last year. But either way you slice it, it seems like Henry Toa is he's a man on a mission, man. That was.
You know, I mean, he's active in the run game. He's much more adequate in the passing game, as he talked about there. He wasn't really as light on his feet and able to cover as well his rookie year, and has adjusted very well to that. So, like, there. Right now, you don't really see much of a weakness in this game. And, again, that's just through 5 weeks, but what you got is pretty good.
All right, does C.J. Stroud need to adjust the way that he's playing the quarterback position? Does it need to look a little bit more like 2023 for the Houston Texans to continue to get better on offense? We'll discuss that next right here on Sports Radio.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott of Sports Radio 610 is in, and almost said sportsradio610.com again, introducing you like just a .com guy. Like you're not on the damn airwaves with me all the time, man.
Yeah, man.
It's habit, man.
Either way works, though. I mean, we want to pull up Sports Radio 610, sportsradio610.com, the Odyssey app. Yeah, Sports Radio 610 on YouTube. 610
to talk about on the radio.
Yeah, we can plug all we want. I want to introduce my boy right
there.
Sports Radio 610.
I appreciate that.
That's disrespectful. That's disrespectful.
I appreciate that.
If that's all that you did, then that'd be one thing. But hell, you're on the airwaves, especially recently, as much as anybody. So.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
Not at all.
Not a one. Not one. All right. Does C.J. Stroud need to play the position, the quarterback position, a little bit differently moving forward? This is a great conversation, especially when your team's 4-1, right?
Yes.
It's a great conversation when your team's 4-1. But
yes, because if you got problems, winning buys you time to fix them.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable to fix things when you're 4-1 than it is when you're 1-4. Just ask the team that you got this week in New England. The wheels are literally coming off in New England, which I'm not sure, by the way. Gerard Mayo, I want to make sure. I'm not sure that the wheels haven't been coming off in New England, if we're completely honest, since Brady left and went to Tampa.
It hasn't been good. We've seen them up close a time or two.
Think about it. I don't get too far off in the weeds in this, but think about it. The wheels have been coming off since Tom Brady left New England so bad that Belichick didn't even get a head coaching job when there were several openings this past year.
Yeah. People were talking crazy like the guy couldn't coach. I mean, like has Belichick lost his fastball and all this kind of stuff.
Man,
like,
it's
Belichick?
Right, yeah.
But it was that bad, though.
Look, you're hiring defensive coordinators as offensive play callers. You're hiring special team coordinators as your quarterback coach.
That was his fault.
I mean, you're not surrounding your quarterback by any kind of talent. You're bringing in Cam Newton and giving him nothing to work with. I mean, you took Mac Jones from a damn a Pro Bowl player to getting cut and backing up in Jacksonville. I mean, it's just wild what's been going on in New England. And it doesn't seem like when Gerard Mayo took over that anything has changed. I shouldn't say that. That's not fair. Gerard Mayo is obviously in year one of a rebuild, and things are still a struggle and somewhat dysfunctional.
They don't have a very good football team.
Yeah.
That's not a good team.
Look, you got one of your captains getting arrested with cocaine in his wallet after he supposedly, I don't know exactly what he did with the young lady, kicking her out of his home and whatever. I mean, that clearly, like, you're the judgment in character when your captains are doing those kind of things is got to be questioned. It's got to be questioned. Not sure how we got there, but the point is C.J. Stroud has played the quarterback position as well as anybody in the league. And I'm referring to last year and this year.
God bless, brother.
Yeah, no doubt, C.J. Last year, I've said it many a time, it was hands down by far the best rookie season I've ever seen a quarterback have. Now, I didn't see Dan Marino's rookie year or John Elway's rookie year, but that's the best rookie season, real rookie season, that I've ever seen anybody have. It was as close to Tom Brady perfection when it comes to surgically dissecting defenses week in, week out. It was as close to Tom Brady Super Bowl type season looking quarterback play.
Right.
It was ridiculous. And they did it overcoming injured wide receivers and overcoming injured offensive linemen. Okay? And now this year, and look, by the way, last year, in CJ's words, boring, quick stuff, take the now throws. That's what he was doing last year, and he did it at a clip of led the league in yards passing per game and led the league in fewest interceptions. Unbelievable, right? And again, regardless of what we think about it, just listen to what they said in training camp and watch training camp before the season ever started. We're going to be more aggressive on offense. We're going to drive the football down the field. And then you watch the product on the field in practice. That's clearly what they're trying to do.
Right.
And now you get to the season, and while CJ once again has been tremendous – I don't know, now that we've seen a good sample size, the question is what brand of CJ quarterback do you want the Houston Texans to play?
Right.
Does CJ Stroud need to adjust the mindset and the approach to play in the position a little bit closer to what we saw last year than this aggressive version of quarterback play? Nothing. He's been great at both now. In no way, shape, or form am I trying to say that a guy is or isn't doing his job. But if you're a Texans fan and you want this thing to be a Super Bowl run, where do you feel like CJ needs to live in order to make that happen?
But see, I like where CJ lived in this game outside. Like this, if you go back to the Buffalo game,
okay.
Right, just take this game to his most recent game. I thought he was exactly that pretty much leading up to the moment where he turns the football over. And I'm not going to excuse that interception. Yeah. I don't know what was going on. I don't know what he was looking at. If I was one of his coaches or friends or somebody, I'd want to sit down and say, hey, what was going on here? That's the one play that I would dissect and say, hey, there's no excuse for this. But before that and after that, for the most part, Clint, I thought he was doing I want him to do exactly what you're saying, to be surgical, to go through his progressions, to not be too greedy with the football. And we do know that CJ has that tendency, right? Like that tendency to want to make the big play because he's capable of making the big play. So he's more inclined to try to force the issue a little bit. But he showed, like, the growth that he showed through last year was that he could check it down, that he could go through his reads and make the right decisions. And I thought in this game, he did, for the most part, exactly that outside of that one specific turnover. So to me, the criticism of C.J. Stroud was one or two specific plays, but not the totality of the game that he played. Like, Clint, he was 10 for 10 over his first, you know, the first half, his only two or three incompletions that he had were kind of throwaways where the play wasn't there. It was toward the end of the half. Like, he was 11 for 12 at one point, and that one incompletion was because there was either pressure or a drop. Like, he was surgical in this game. Like, I thought he played exactly the way that you want him to play. That's why I was surprised about this, because to me, CJ has played closer to, or really, I would say this, he has been closer to the reason why they have been in these games and won these games, as opposed to the style of play that he's had kind of being a detriment to them.
Oh, no. Now, I agree with that point. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you're winning games because your quarterback's pulling you out of third and longs and second, overcoming second and third and longs.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, but what I'm talking about is avoiding those situations, right? I mean, there is, and look, I'll be completely clear. I think this is a Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud. It's like the approach to offensive football. Like, as a quarterback, if the coach keeps calling four verticals, hell, I'm going to drop back and throw four verticals, right?
There you go.
I mean, so I think it's more – I guess I'm being less critical of C.J., the quarterback, and more about what the offense needs to look like as a whole.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Look, there is, and it's less about just last week's game and more about, like, what we've seen this year. There is no doubt about it. This year, C.J. Stroud is not like I described a play yesterday. There's a play where he comes out and to the right. Dalton Schultz, the linebacker, is pedaling at the snap. Dalton Schultz is wide open to his right on a 6-yard Y option route. He just turns around, and he looks dead at him and doesn't throw it because he's trying to throw the corner route over the top to Tank Dell, which, by the way, that's there. But the lineman, I mean, I think it was a vision thing. The line closed up in front of him, and so now he's on number five. And he ends up throwing the ball over here. He ends up getting hit. And it's one of those where last year he would have threw that thing right now to Dalton Schultz, and we'd be in second and four.
Yeah.
And right? And that's there is no doubt about it. That is happening more often this year than it did. There was very rare last year that he would ever pass up anything, right now.
That's what I was going to say. I think you could find more plays like that, what you described. But I still come away from that game feeling like, man, the Texans won this game because they had elite quarterback play for the most part.
Agreed.
And a damn good defense. Like that. Like those are the takeaways that, like, it, like, without the way that CJ has played, like, he's been their main playmaker. It's kind of hard to live in that space.
Let me be clear. They've won several games this year because of elite quarterback play. Like, you can be an elite quarterback and take six unnecessary hits,
sure,
and throw the football into coverage, but you're so good that it gets in there, or it's not intercepted and it gets caught, or you have a great drive at the end of the first half and a great drive at the end of the second half, and you end up scoring points and you end up winning the game. He is elite no matter what the hell he does. That's not the point. The point is we need him to stay healthy.
Right.
We need him to get the football out because the offensive line is struggles from time to time. And look, let's be honest, we're going to face better defensive fronts. That's not going to get better. That's not going to get easier. So if there's five or six throws a game where CJ gets the football out right now and the offensive line mistakes are a nil non-factor because the ball got out, that's a huge win for the Houston Texans. So
yeah.
I don't know where I necessarily – I think he's got to land somewhere in the middle. But I know this. Last year, C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick, their approach to offensive football and the way he played the game, it made up for subpar offensive line play. It made up for not having all your explosive weapons all the damn time. And it made up for him not getting hit and being able to play more. Like, that kind of stuff is – is big, and I think they got to land somewhere in the middle with that. All right, the stars may be aligning for the Houston Texans run game, y'all. This is music to our ears, man. Between the injury report and the recent film, there are some beautiful things to talk about in this run game, and we got even better news on the running back situation today. We'll discuss that next right here on Sports Radio 16.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.